It's real good to see you all here this evening, and we want to thank you in the Lord's name for coming. We have said that every night. Some places we go, some of the folks say, well, I'm beginning to believe what you say. I hope you understand that. Now, the meetings continue tomorrow night at 7:30, as our brother announced here last night, and in the will of the Lord, same time on the Lord's Day and the different meetings, and then the nights of next week in the will of God. Now, I see you. Brenton has told you, I have to leave, I would like to stay, but I have all kinds of other things on, rightly or wrongly, but we have to leave these parts now on Saturday morning in the will of God. It's been a pleasure to be with you. Trust the Lord will bless each one of you and that will meet you in heaven when life on earth is past. And if those are here tonight for the first time, we want to welcome them as well. Trust the Lord will bless his word. First reading tonight is in the book of Luke, chapter 7. And I'm going to talk tonight about the voice of the Son of God. That's the subject tonight. That's why we sung that first hymn, number 66. Look at verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. And so the story goes on. Now at the end, look at verse 47. This is what the Lord said to this dear soul. Wherefore I say unto you, unto thee, that's Simon, here's the woman, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Look at verse 50. He said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. That's the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ talking. Now look at Luke chapter 23 here for another verse. Luke's Gospel 23. Luke's account of the crucifixion. Listen to this. Verse number 46. This is the doctor talking. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit, that's the word, I commit my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the spirit. You notice what it says here? When Jesus cried with a loud voice, look at another one here in Revelation, please, chapter 3. Just one verse here. Revelation now, please, chapter 3. Well-known verse. We want to read it tonight. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. He says at verse number 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, that's the heart's door. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. I'll read you one more in John's Gospel, chapter 5, please. John's Gospel, chapter 5. This is a very interesting passage, but I'm just going to read what's on my mind right now. So if you have your Bible handy, John's Gospel, please, chapter 5. Look at verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And that's all we're going to read together. The voice of the Son of God. Now here's how we should introduce this tonight. One of the greatest faculties that the God of heaven, the Creator God, has given to us creatures is our voice. What age group we're in here tonight? Even the young ones? If you had no voice, you can't communicate. Some dear people, gospel preachers included, in the early part of their life, they shout so much that whenever they come to the end of life, they can't shout, can't even talk, some of them. See, that never was God's mind. But I want to put across to you tonight that one of these greatest faculties, abilities that God has given to us is our voice. How can we communicate without our voice? So just pause a minute now and think of the world that we live in. Think of even today. There are loud voices. There are soft voices. There are mature voices. And there are children who have a small voice. There are singers that can reach the high note. There are baritone voices and all kinds of voices. So you all know what I'm talking about. Now I want to stop tonight, all of us, myself included, and just think about the voice of the Son of God. Several places, I have just read four, there are several other places where it's very definite that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking. Now, dear friend, I hope you're listening to what he has to say. That's what we want to talk about tonight. Now, to be very simple and to the point, and you'll understand what I'm going to talk about, the first thing I want to speak about is the voice of the Son of God is a pardoning voice. That's number one. That's Luke 7. He said to the woman, thy sins are forgiven thee. And then I want to think of the day that he cried on Golgotha's hill. He has a voice that rang across the Kidron Valley that day. He cried with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. You see, that's a powerful voice. There's nobody had the power behind his voice like the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the voice of many waters, Revelation chapter 1 and so on. I hope that the powerful voice of the Lord Jesus will reach you tonight, friend. We're going to talk about that in a minute or two. Then I want to speak about a pleading voice. Here's what the Lord says. I'm taking it out of its context and making an application. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's pleading. He's asking, may I come in? May I come in to your life? I wonder, have you heard his voice today? He's been pleading with some of you folk here for a long time, and he's pleading tonight again. He wants to take charge of your life and have your sins forgiven and give you a hope beyond the tomb. I want to balance that and show you that the voice of the Son of God is a penetrating voice. And somebody says, what does that mean? Well, it says here, John chapter 5, verse 28, marvel not, the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. We have been all around these roads here these last few weeks, and some of these towns, and I see all kinds of graveyards. There's millions of people, and their bodies have long since gone to dust. Millions of them. And they'll hear the voice of the Son of God. I tell you, talk about penetrating voice. Talk about that in a minute or two. By the way, I didn't read the verse, but it's right in this very chapter of John 5. The hour is coming, and now is, right now, when the dead in trespasses and in sins, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. People say to me all the time, how can dead people hear the voice? I want to tell you, it's a penetrating voice. And if you hear the voice of God in your soul tonight, you'll understand what we're talking about. Let me just summarize that for you. Here's a man, he's a Pharisee, and he wants to show some kindness to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he puts a feast on, and the Lord's there, and all kinds of people. And here's a woman that comes in from the street, and it would appear that Simon knew her. And it says here she was a sinner. Obviously, her lifestyle had told others there's something wrong with this lady. The man was absolutely startled that the Lord Jesus Christ, that knows the end from the beginning, would allow this woman who is a sinner to come right in close to him. She bows before him, comes in behind him, and that ointment that she had, she poured it on him. Simon's absolutely astonished, startled. Now that dear lady is a picture of humanity. We have said it every night. This world that we live in, the Bible declares it clearly and simply and plainly. Wherefore as by Adam, the first man that ever lived, sin came into the world, and death by sin passed upon all men. All have sinned, and all are guilty, come short of the glory of God. Now it's very likely, friend, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that has never got in. Some people get the message right away. Other people, we've preached to for months in some places, and they never got the message until the last night of the meetings. And they found out what God says is true about me. Do you believe it? Do you accept it? Don't have to tell anybody. The Bible says it. And our lifestyle proves it. I want to tell you something. Here's the pardoning voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. With all the lifestyle of this lady, he understood exactly where she was and her desire. And he turns to Simon at a certain point in the feast that day, and he says to him, now listen, Simon, do you see this woman? Her sins are forgiven. Now we'll leave his shortcomings to the side. I want to focus on this woman. You think how she felt. The last verse of that chapter is verse 50 of Luke chapter 7. He addressed the woman. He says, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Her sins were forgiven. Now there's only one person can do that. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He has power on earth to forgive sins. Now imagine, whatever age group that lady was, she heard the pardoning voice of the Lord Jesus Christ singled out for her, one-on-one. You know what we say? Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who is grace so rich and free? As we look back, many of us in this company, saved by the grace of God, and we think of our lifestyle before we were saved, are absolutely amazed tonight that the God of heaven sent a son, that one day on earth to this dear lady, she heard the pardoning voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you're hearing it tonight. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon thy breast." I came to Jesus as I was. You can come tonight. Weary and worn and sad. That's what sin does. Found in him a resting place. And he has made me glad. I want to tell you, friend, if you get saved tonight in this meeting, you'll be very thankful and glad. Somebody says, "How could it take place?" Well, I just spent a minute here. We want to bring you to that memorable day in the history of the world. Outside the city walls of the old city. And when the work was done, there's a loud voice heard across the Kedron Valley that day. When he had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." He rested his head on his shoulder, totally in control, and the work was done. I hope, friend, the voice is loud enough that you can hear it in your heart. The work's done. It's finished. And if you're interested in salvation tonight, there's nothing that you and I can add to it. And there's nothing that we can take away from it. Nothing. If I was where you are tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, I would accept God's gift. Here's another hymn. There's a voice that is calling to you. And he's pleading tonight with his tenderest tone. Whilst he strives, yield to him. Don't fall short. Here's another hymn we could have given out. 'Tis the voice of Jehovah commands thee awake. For time is fast passing, thy soul is at stake. The voice of the Son of God is a pardoning voice, and it's a powerful voice. See, the gospel that we proclaim, it's the power of God. That word is the dynamite. You all know what dynamite is. Unto salvation. It smashes the sinner. Brings him right down to appreciate as never before his sin. And the one that has taken his place on the cross at Calvary. But it's only good to those that believe. Here's another one I want to talk about. See this voice of the Son of God. That's a pleading voice. Now let me just get to the very point here. The Lord Jesus Christ comes to the individual and he's saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's the heart's door. Somebody says, how would I know he's knocking at my door? Well, the circumstances have come into your life maybe recently, whatever that may be, and God has stopped you on your track. Something has happened. Your carelessness has gone. And you recognize that God is talking to me. It's a pleading voice, friend. He's pleading with you tonight to accept him. Now don't forget, he will never come into a place where he's not wanted. You need to desire salvation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, now you have to open the door of your heart and allow him to come in. Now the best illustration I can make on this one is a famous artist of a former day in the UK, Holtman Hunt. He was famous. You look at the internet and you'll find out. Take any of the search engines, put his name in, and you'll find out the whole story. Here's the bottom line. He had made many paintings. He was famed in the nation, in his generation, and he had a large gallery. And he spent a long time on this picture, and he drew the picture of a house. And there was a door on the house. And the Lord Jesus Christ, crowned with thorns, is reaching over the door of the house. And he asked his friend to come to see this great painting. It's famous, still famous. And his friend went in there and he scrutinized that painting. And he says to him, Holtman, it's a masterpiece, man. But you know what? You made a mistake. The artist says, I made a mistake. Yeah. He says, you have painted that house there, and you've put the door on it, and the Lord Jesus there trying to get in. He says, man, you have no latch on the door. How will the Lord Jesus Christ ever get in there? Ah, says the artist, listen, the latch is on the inside. You see, the person has to open the door. He has to be willing. The Lord Jesus Christ is willing to come into your experience tonight and save you for time and eternity. But dear soul, you have got to be willing. And you need to be willing now. There's an urgency about it. I wonder what you're going to do. It's a tremendous thing. There's an instant when the door is opened and the Lord Jesus Christ enters into the experience. Or the other way, John 10 and 9, to the Lord, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I want to tell your friend tonight, only a step to Jesus, then why not take it now? And enter through the door and enjoy Christ forever. The pleading voice. There's another one. I want to talk about that for a minute or two. There's a pardoning voice. There's a powerful voice. There's a pleading voice. But I want to tell you, friend, there's a penetrating voice. And all our lifestyle in this country and any other country, people don't realize what it's all about. But this voice is so penetrating that all that are in the graves will hear his voice. And this verse tells us, verse 28 and 29 of John chapter 5, that there's no such a thing as a general resurrection or a general judgment that people are foolish enough to swallow. It says here, the voice will be heard in the first resurrection, they that have done good under the resurrection of life. And that'll happen tonight if the Lord Jesus Christ comes, calls from the world his own, and those that have died in Christ will rise first. millions of them. More than 1,000 years down the road, his voice will be heard again. And those that are unbelievers, lost, will hear the penetrating voice, the second resurrection, the resurrection unto damnation, via the great white throne judgment, and finally the lake of fire. I've come to ask you tonight, friend, if you terminate your life, if the Lord doesn't come for any of us, I would like to ask you, I wonder how you'll hear his voice. Will you hear his voice as a believer in him? Or will you hear his voice as an unbeliever and go down at last to weep and wail forever? Dear people, we mean business. What we're talking about every night is reality. Can you imagine yourself in a lake of fire forever? Somebody says no. Well, go to Israel and go down to the Dead Sea. And it's a picture of what we're talking about, the lake of fire. The River Jordan runs in. There's a way in, but there's no way out. That's the lake of fire. Dear people, I wouldn't wish my worst enemy in that place. I hope you'll hear the voice of the Son of God tonight. My time's gone. Will you think about it? It's a pardoning voice. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Who is grace so rich and free? We had it long for you, friend. It's a powerful voice. It's a pleading voice. It's a penetrating voice. God help your friend to hear his voice tonight and believe the gospel and meet us in heaven when it's all over. Thank you very much.
Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, please. We're going to take four readings tonight out of Isaiah. We'll start in chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. We'll read at verse number 13. I'm just going to take these verses, and you'll notice, no doubt on your own, that we're going to speak to those that are weary tonight. Stan gave out that song number 66, and it was just full of the word weary. He didn't know what I was thinking on. But I think there's a word from the Lord tonight for any in the audience that are weary. Chapter 7, verse number 13. And he said, "Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary God also?" Now to chapter 43. We're just going to take them in order. We won't speak on them in this order, but as we're going by, we'll read them. Isaiah 43. Verse number 22. Well, verse 21. "This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel." So these are a group of people that are tired of God. In our first verse, it's a small thing to weary men, but will we weary God also? Now to chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. Verse number 4. "The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he waketh my ear to hear as the learned." This is prophetic of the Lord Jesus, of course. "The Lord God hath opened mine ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And one more in chapter 57, verse number 10. Thou art weary in the greatness of the way, yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thy hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. Thou art wearied or tired or exhausted in the greatness of thy way. Lord, bless to us the reading of his word and what we've listened to already. We're going to start here in chapter 57. Tired in the greatness of the way. You remember, you can read in the Bible that the way of the transgressor is hard. And here God is speaking to the people that they are tired in the greatness of the way, the difficulty of the way, the hardness of the way. And as we think day by day of souls that have come to the gospel meetings that have wanted to be saved, we think of souls that are being tired. Tired in the greatness of the way, trying to understand what's being spoken, trying to understand what's being read, trying to figure out God's great salvation. And sometimes it is an exhausting, it is a tiring thing. And I would say this, it's always a tiring thing. And what we have here, it says that they're tired, but they have not said yet that there is no hope. In other words, they're tired, but they're still trying. They're tired, but they haven't yet conceded to the reality that apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and apart from what he has done at Calvary, there is no hope. And here I'd like to just point out a problem that's exposed in the hearts of men. And I'm just going to take this as men that are being saved. We could take it down the road of men living in their sin. And there they are day in and day out, and they're living in their sin, and they're tired of it. And yet there's no way they can stop. They just sin every day. And they try to turn over a new leaf when they get up in the morning, but by night they're doing the same thing, and they're tired of it. And maybe that is what you're like tonight. You're absolutely tired of your sin. Sick of it. Wish it was gone. And the greatness and the burden of it has been real, and you just wish it was gone, but yet you haven't said yet there is no hope. You haven't come to understand that there's no way that in and of yourself, whether it is trying to figure it out or trying to believe or anything of ourself, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And so there are souls in this meeting tonight that are likely tired of their sin, and it's been a long day. That's what a weary day is about, isn't it? It's been a long day. Just wish it was over. Just wish there would be rest in salvation tonight. But yet there's some little thing we're hanging on to. I remember in my experience, if you'd asked me if I was working to be saved, I'd have said, no, never. I know better. But yet I've heard of people that read their Bible all night and were saved, and I tried that too. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. The work is absolutely finished. And when we get to the point where there is no hope, then God can work. Nothing in myself I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. They're wearied. It's a long day, but the problem is exposed. They're still trying. And as the old preachers used to tell us, as long as you're trying, you're not trusting. The long day. The problem exposed. And we go to chapter 7, and it's a small thing to weary men. But will you weary God also? That is a patience that's exhausted. The patience of God. I've told this story about this man here before, this man Randy in Montana that came to a meeting one night. We found him at the city park in Great Falls, and he was kicked out of his mom and dad's house for stealing stuff from him to support his habits, and they were tired of him. He was in his early 40s. They kicked him out. Their patience had run out. And so we invited him to the meeting, and he came back to the tent where we were, and we had egg salad sandwiches for supper, and there was never a man that ate so much egg salad in all of his life as Randy. He stayed for the meeting. His parents were weary of him. They didn't want him back. He told the ladies at the end of the meeting, and there were people there that Ross and I were visiting, he told them that he had gotten saved in the meeting. And so we talked to him a little bit, and we decided we'd take him to a hotel, get him a place to stay because he had no place to stay. So we got him a cheap motel, gave him $8 for breakfast, and we said, we'll pick you up for breakfast. We never really expected to see him again for just the type of people they are. They disappear either that night or in the morning. So we went to get him, and he was gone. Where'd he go? Well, the ambulance came to get him in the night. So we went to the hospital, and they wouldn't tell us anything for confidentiality. So we lost the trail. And 3 days later, we saw his obituary in the paper. He died that night. He died. He heard the gospel one time. Said he got saved, never had a chance to live to prove it. And there's been several people that have expressed to me, if I could only hear the gospel one time, instead of being raised under it, it'd be so much easier to believe. I used to think the same thing. Here we are, we hear it, and we hear it, and we hear it, and it's not like we want our heart to be calloused, but it's just that we can't see it. You know, it's a small thing to weary men. But will we weary God also? God's patience is amazing. And His long-suffering is marvelous. But there is the reality of sinners wearying God. God says, this is enough. You've had a bazillion opportunities to be saved. And it is possible tonight for men to weary God, and God says, that's enough. That's enough. It's a small thing to weary men. When we weary men, they drive us from their presence for time. But when men weary God, and they go out from the presence of the Lord, it's for eternity. Patience of God exhausted. That's a line that is drawn. You see, tonight, folks, it is the mercy of God that we're here tonight. It is the love of God that salvation has been provided. And it is the grace of God that has given us another opportunity to be saved. Only by God's grace. Only by God's mercy are we alive tonight and not in hell where we deserve to be. So this is a patience that is exhausted. Remember, the problems that's exposed. We have not yet come to the end of our own thinking and our own ideas and our own self and simply trusted what Christ has done. And then we come to chapter 43. Thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. This is a group of people that are tired of God. It's the opposite side of the coin of men wearing out God's patience. Here men are tired of God. And we've seen through gospel meetings that sometimes people are stirred up about their soul. They consider their sin. They hear the gospel. And there's conviction of sin. And then over time, something very, very interesting sets in. They get sick of it. They're tired of it. They don't want to hear any more of it. That means that they're tired of God. Tired of God dealing with them. Tired of conviction of sin. Tired of hearing that they're going to be in hell if they die in their sin. And all the preacher's trying to do is be faithful to warn the sinners of the reality of the consequences of their sin. Because you remember the first morning, Sunday morning, that these meetings started, we looked at the watchman, and if he warns not the people, the blood is on his head. And people get tired of it. I sympathize with those people. My heart breaks for those people. God, by the Spirit of God, is seeking to stir them, to remind them throughout the day of eternity, to remind them throughout the day when circumstances and even words that are spoken by unbelievers just in passing causes them to think about their soul, causes them to think about eternity. And they're tired of it. After all, God, I've tried my best and you didn't save me and it's your fault and I'm sick of it. Thoughts like that ever cross your mind? Cross a lot of people's mind. And they're tired of God. And they're tired of hearing the voice of the Lord as you've been hearing. That penetrating voice and that powerful voice and even that still small voice that comes prompts us along to the meeting, taps you on the shoulder and says, you know, there's meeting tonight. Ah, no. That's people that are tired of God. That's pride. That's pride exposed. You say, how is that pride? I thought I was humble. I thought that I wanted to be saved. That's really wanting our own way and wanting our own thing. And what that is the Lord despised. These are solemn thoughts, aren't they? But these are realities that go through the minds of people. Maybe there's some in here like this, maybe there's not. But there are people tonight I know that are tired of the greatness of the way and just want relief. There are people here and they know that they've sinned and they're sick of their sin. And if there's only one thing in this world that they want, it would be to have their sins cleansed, to be forgiven. But yet they can't see it. And the Lord gives the answer because they've said that there is no hope. You remember in Acts when they were on the ship, and the little phrase there, all hope that they should be saved was taken away. I remember that night in my experience. I'm just going to have to go to hell. I must have wearied God. I sinned so much, there must be no chance for me. And that was the night that I was saved. So, you've got people that are weary of God. But I want to spend my time in Isaiah 50. And I'm going to take you through a lot of verses in just a short time. And I don't know if that is the right thing or the wrong thing, but we're going to do it tonight because the Lord has laid it on my heart. I would like to look at a word in season for the weary soul. And we're going to look at a half a dozen verses or so that might be that word for you. If there's someone here tonight and you're concerned about your sin, and you realize that sin is the problem, and you know that if your sins were taken away, there'd be no reason for you to be separated from God. If you've come to the understanding that because of your sin, you're going to be in hell, and that sin is the problem, not the problem that you're not saved. That is a problem, but the problem is sin. What takes a person to hell is their sin. And so if sin is forgiven, if sin is taken away, if our sin was laid upon Christ, then there's nothing there to condemn us, to take us away to the lost eternity. I want to give you a verse in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. Write it down if your problem tonight is sin. Make a note of it. Look at it at home. For the word in season for that dear poor person that understands their sin to its very depth, to the very issue of their own judgment, the word is this. Listen now. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. From all sin. I'll tell you tonight, if there was a sinner that understood their sin and saw it as God saw it and felt it the weight that it really is, this would be a word in season for a weary soul. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You say, He can cleanse me from my sin. The verse says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I remember sitting across the table from a young woman in her early 20s in 2009. And she was saved right there on that verse. The verse that she read first was Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And you could see the tears start to come down her cheek. She had seen something in that verse. What did you see? I see that the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. And my preaching partner said that at that time, he said, well, how many of your sins were laid on him? And she just thought about it. So he turned her to this verse in 1 John 1 and 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then it wasn't just a little stream of tears. It was both eyes in a flood of tears. And she said, the verse says, all my sin It was a word in season for her. Why? Because her sin was real. Her sin was the problem. It was the only thing standing in the way between her and heaven. It was her sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Write it down, friend. Think about it. Let's go to another one. Maybe there's someone here, and it's just a reality in your life that you've searched for this matter of salvation, and you've only found yourself in the darkness. You've only found yourself farther away than you've ever been. The situation keeps getting hopeless and more hopeless and less possible and less possible, and you can't see the way. My friend, tonight, then you are lost. You are lost. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. To be lost, to not be able to see it. Listen to Luke 19 and 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. You know that word lost means perish? It means perish. It just doesn't mean roaming around in the wilderness in that sort of a way, but it means perishing. Perishing. And the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is perishing, that which is lost. And my friend tonight, if you are lost, Christ came to where you are. Not just 2,000 years ago to this earth to go to the cross, but He's come tonight through the preaching of the gospel to the very room in which you're sitting to bring you a message of salvation, that it is His blood that cleanses from sin, that He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Let me tell you about a dear woman from Ron's province. She wanted to be saved. She was reading a list of verses, and we prayed with her, and we just let her go. We went home and we got a call in the morning. And dear Adele says to this, she said, I was saved at 2 a.m. this morning. What happened? I was lost, but He found me. I was lost, but He found me. Friend tonight, what a word in season for her. Changed her eternal destiny. Saved by the grace of God because Christ came to where she was. In 2005, and He found her there. Saved her there. It was a word in season for her soul. What about those that don't know? Those that are only hoping if they can find out salvation. Those that aren't even sure it's even real. Listen to 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know. Oh, if I could only know, how would you find out? These things were written. What was just written? He that hath the Son hath life. That you might know. That you might know. Not that you're grasping for straws. Not that you're trying to take an imaginary leap of faith into the dark. But a step into the light of the truth of the Word of God. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Dear sinner tonight, He came to save sinners. Sinners. What a word in season. Sinners can know they'll be in heaven. Sinners can know forgiveness of sins. Sinners can have the Son and have life. Notice the tense of the verb, to have Him. To have Him. A word in season for those that want to know. What about those that are without strength? You remember Isaiah 7. They were weary in the greatness of the way. Exhausted. Exhausted. Does that not remind you of Romans 5 and 6? For while we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Absolutely exhausted. Absolutely played out. Absolutely worn out. Nothing more to offer God. Nothing more to do. And I think of the dear man there in Psalm 107. As there he laid, he fell down and there was none to help. He was absolutely exhausted. It says, then he brake the bands asunder. Then they cried unto the Lord. He that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When do men call upon the name of the Lord? when they're absolutely weary, when they're absolutely exhausted, when there's no place else to turn. Psalm 107, it's four times over in that psalm. Then they cried unto the Lord in their distress. What a word in season. For while we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And I'm going to do one more. Matthew 11 and verse 28. What's that? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, if that's not a word for a weary soul, isn't that what you're looking for tonight, friend? You know you're weary. You're just longing for rest. The Lord Jesus Christ says this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How can he say that? Because he has accomplished the work and finished it at Calvary. Nothing more for the weary soul to do. I don't know what you're expecting, dear friend, tonight in this meeting for salvation. Maybe you're waiting for the fireworks to go off and the light to flash through your eyes into your mind. Maybe you're waiting for a feeling tonight. But understand this, the word in season is meant to save the soul. It is the word of God that you need. The word of God. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And for the weary soul, they can latch onto that for eternity. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The weary soul can latch onto that. And it isn't a matter of you hanging on to it. It's Christ and you in Christ. My dear weary soul tonight, the Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I might give you rest. No, I will give you rest. Look away from your own weariness. Look away from your own struggles and look to Christ and the finished work at Calvary. And you know what? When you rest where God has rested, you won't be weary anymore. Let's pray. Father, we bow in thy presence again.